All right, we are continuing. We're here in session 11, and we're going to talk about the elders' meeting.
One of the elders of the church I served in California was a model to me in some ways. He was out visiting people all the time. He cared for people wonderfully, but he never came to a meeting. And called him and met him and said, what's going on here? And he said, I hate elders' meetings. And realized that most people, there are some who love meetings, let's put it that way, but most people come toward the issue of meetings with hesitation. With, oh, another meeting? What's going to happen in this meeting? And so we decided to put in this session on what about the elders' meeting? How can we make sure that meeting is productive, not painful, and at least if the pain comes there, it's redemptive pain, moving toward something new and different. Now, I want to make some assumptions as we enter the subject. First assumption is Jesus is the head of the church. It's not the pastor, it's not you as an elder. He is the head of the body of the church, Paul says in Colossians, mm-hmm. in the beginning of the firstborn. Jesus is the head of the church. So, secondly, having the right people at the meeting is essential. Who do you need at this meeting? And who do you not need at this meeting? I just went through a process where in my retirement, I decided one of the things I wanted to try out was being on stage. And so I was part of a Macbeth presentation. We had to meet every night for 2 weeks before we had an opening. And I'll tell you, I was sitting there and had really nothing to do on most of those nights. And I was so thankful to the director who said, you know, we don't need you tonight. Why don't you go? Hallelujah. Now, if there were things pertinent to my presence there, that would have been no problem. Now, in an elders' meeting, having the right people there is important. But if certain people aren't needed at that time, they may be accessories. And some churches' elders have assistants who work with them. Maybe they don't need to be there. Make sure the right people are at the table. A third assumption is that eldership should be a great joy. At the end of your time of eldership, you should be able to say, wow, God did something during that time I was in eldership, and I got to be part of it. I got to be sitting in the front row of the stage of what Jesus was doing in the church. Man, that was terrific.
Right.
And some elders then, are not eager to quit. And that's why the last church I served, we created a method by which they could extend, if all the elders agreed, they could extend for a period of up to 2 years, their three-year term. But it was one of those where you say, yes, it's working. It's
right.
A joy. People are leaving, not saying, oh, am I glad that's done.
People are excited and thankful that they get to be a part of this.
Right, and some would grieve for a period of time, saying, I used to know so much about what was going on in church, now I don't. It should be a great joy. And so what happens in that meeting, however often you meet, is important to that goal, that it be a great joy. Assumption four, as the church grows, structures must change. And we're going to talk about that. There's different styles for different sizes of church. Character is important, as well as competency in the work of an elder. If there are character issues, they have to be dealt with by the eldership, otherwise the meetings will become a big problem. Mm-hmm. And chemistry is also important, that you get along together. Friend of mine, they would have two meetings per month in his church. He served a very, very large church, so about 1,600 people in it. And they had a small group of elders, six elders, in their governing elder structure. They had a group of shepherding elders that they had like 25 or 30. But the governing elders, in order to make a decision, they had six well-chosen people. And so they'd meet one night to do business. And 2 weeks later, they'd meet just to have pie together and talk. So they had their pie nights. And the eldership is somebody I check in every once in a while, say, how are things going? And he'd say, well, you know, he says, the pie nights are a hit. he loved to bake, and so he'd bake pies. And he'd have a variety of pies. They'd come to his house, sit in the living room, sit and talk about their lives together.
Just that connection and chemistry together as a group that wants to serve and work together.
Yes. And so when they came to the business meeting 2 weeks later, they had all this goodwill that was built toward each other.
And it's so important that you just love the people you're serving with outside of just the service, because then when you have a disagreement, you have this, again, built relationship with them.
Right. So, you know, making time for both within a meeting or two separate meetings or whatever. We'll talk about the variety or significance of meetings. Where do you meet? Here's two different church elder groups. Now, the one, I didn't get a picture of the meeting there, actually, but you'll notice the one, it's around tables, and it's a place where you feel like business is going on. The other one is where another church, it's a large church here in West Michigan, they hold their elders meetings in that setting. They're sitting in comfortable chairs, and they're talking. Which one is right and which one is wrong? I don't know. If it's a business meeting that's well run as a business meeting, well, then let's get this done. Let's do the business and get it done. If it's a pie night or a more casual, make sure we have time for allowing for each other, then maybe a different place to meet. But where you meet has impact on what goes on there, how the place is starting. Just know that. And be aware of it. That's important. Okay. Choosing who runs the meeting. Now, in the system that I grew up in fact, my church has a church order, and it says that the pastor is the one who's going to be leading these meetings. Now, I have a spiritual gift of leadership, and I chose in my second church, one in California, to not be the one to lead the meeting. And I've told you about that, you know, meeting where the church father came to me and said, hey, you share this with me, your ideas, share it, and I'll run the ball, and you don't have to cash in your chips. And so after that, I decided, you know, there are some really good leaders here. I don't have to do this. I don't have to lead the meeting. I can be somebody who contributes from the sideline. And so after that, we had people chose the leader. And they chose the leader, and they usually chose, we had, like I say, some terrific leaders in that church. Businessmen who knew how to run a meeting. And so we'd choose people, and they would run the meeting. And do you elect somebody? Do you appoint somebody? Who runs that meeting? Make sure whoever runs the meeting knows how to run the meeting.
Right.
It's one of the worst things if somebody's in front and leading and nobody knows where you are, what you're doing, how you're moving from one subject to another. There's, Now, having said that, if you are somebody who's an elder who's been chosen to facilitate a meeting, know that the relationship with the pastor that you have is very important. I wasn't running the meeting, but I met with the person who was leading that meeting every month.
Was strong on what the direction of the meeting needed.
And I was the one who made the agenda for the most part, and would go over that agenda with the person who was going to lead the meeting, and they had power to adjust. And I remember one, you know, very effective leader, a woman who didn't like one of the agenda things. I said, well, wait a minute, you don't like what it is. You've got power here. I'm not giving you a list of things. You've got the ability to change that, so we'll take that off the agenda. Make sure you get a leader who understands the heart of the church, but who is effective at leading meetings. That's vitally important. So, relationship of pastor and facilitating elder is important. Time to meet. When is the best time to meet? You got to go by people's schedules, certainly, but to set a time that's consistent so that people can prepare for it. Now, I was very, very grateful. I tended to take Mondays off, and in the last the church I served in California, they had a long tradition of meeting as elders on Monday night. And so twice a month on Mondays, when I'd try to take a day off and recover from ministry the previous week, I had to go to a meeting at night and be prepared for it. And the last church I served found out the elders that met on Monday night. And I said, oh, no, I tried to take Mondays off. I said, oh, we can move. They said, let's move to Tuesday. So they moved to Tuesday.
Thank you. 11 years
I served there as pastor, that was one of the things I was most grateful for. Now, how often do you meet? That depends. Some meet monthly. Some meet quarterly. Some meet weekly. Now, how do you decide how often to meet? Well, in order for that, you have to understand that there are some stages of eldership. Stages of doing the ministry and making all the decisions of ministry would be one step. Two would be stepping back from doing that, being responsible for everything that happens, and approving the ministry. Third would be reviewing the ministry, and then four would be direction setting for the ministry. Now, what stage are you in? Now, in stages one and two, you will have more frequent meetings because you've got to have your hand into everything and touch everything. In stages three and four, you have less frequent meetings, less time that is needed in a meeting. Mm-hmm. So how do you determine where you are? That will affect how often you meet. Now, for most churches, a monthly meeting is sufficient. In a very, very small church, maybe meeting more often because things are changing more rapidly. But as you get larger, you will need to meet less often. And in fact, some ministries, very large ministries, will go to a position where they will meet quarterly because they've got a staff-driven ministry, and stage four of, you know, you're the ones who give approval, you don't need to meet very often. So, how often? A written agenda, at least 24 hours before the meeting. Make sure that people know what we're going to be talking about. Have the information that they need, if there's a decision to be made. How often? Written agenda. Vitally important. And then make sure there's time for prayer. I'm always shocked when I deal with some elders' meetings that I've, now consult with churches. I found that they have a prayer at the beginning and maybe a prayer at the end, maybe not. And what we're doing is the work of the head of the church, right, Jesus? So make sure we consult them at the beginning, the end, maybe in between. And one of the churches that planted as a daughter church out of the church I served in California, a man came and he was just terrific as a church planter. And that church in year two had 700 people in worship. Mm-hmm. And he had an elder group that was together making decisions. And so I was talking to him about his elders meeting at one point, elders meetings. And he said they get on their knees together at the end of the meeting and they spend time in prayer for each other. Is anybody here who has a need? They pray for all the issues they have discussed. They've got them on a list. And, they do this regularly because they recognize that this is spiritual business. It's not just business. You can run a church like a business and have it be dying spiritually. Not necessary that it's good to run it as a business because it is a business in some respects, but it's got to have the spiritual aspect. So make sure in your elders' meetings there's time for prayer. And then minutes are vital. Make sure it's time for prayer, but make sure there's a record. And make sure the record is not just saying what actions were done, but what decisions were made. In some cases, what some discussions that were had, what were some of the issues, especially if you're going to talk about something the next time as well. Make sure there's a reminder about, here were the various viewpoints on this issue, that there's time to do that again.
Well, and for anyone who isn't there, these meetings are, vital that the minutes are there because they can get up to speed on what was said, what was done.
Right.
So it's just very important that is accessible to all elders or anyone that should be knowing this information.
Yep, so make sure that minutes communicate outside the meeting. You know, if there's anything that comes up, make sure that, you know, there's questions. You'll find elders in a well-run meeting will talk to each other outside the meeting. And so, well, not that they're trying to get their point, but they'll say, well, what'd you think? You know, let me think through it again. Or even if they were on different ends of an opinion, to see them on a Sunday morning having a cup of coffee in their hands together and you know, listening to each other just to get a better understanding. And, and then, you know, make sure that there's an annual time of review of the meetings. How are meetings going?
Right.
Anything we should change about meetings and visioning for the future? And then after review, make sure that you adapt anything that needs adaptation, that needs a change, that needs,
right.
How are we going to update this so that this is all vital yet? And you go to a lot of meetings.
Yeah, here at Christian Leaders, as I already mentioned, with the accreditation process coming on, we had a lot of, you know, informal meetings where we wouldn't have minutes, and then, you know, as we've been on this process of accreditation, you know, we've seen that benefit of, you know, having those minute meeting notes and being able to have that for just, yeah, the accountability, the conversation that took place. It really is, it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah. And just that opportunity, you know, meetings are important because, again, Jesus is the head of the church, but he rules the church through you, the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And so that fact that you are meeting together, that you are making decisions that will affect the life and the health and the character of your church, is incredibly, incredibly important. Can be very problematic if things are going wrong there.
Right.
You know? Yes. If people, you know, aren't showing up for the meeting and you end up not having quorum, you know, the quorum is you have to have enough to make a decision. That's more than half the number of people there. If that's where you are, well, you better look at this again and say, when do we meet again? You know, one church I know of, I talked about this. They were meeting on, you know, I think it was Monday night for years and years and years and years. And for some of the people, it just wasn't effective. In fact, one person worked a revolving shift in a hospital. And so, you know, every other meeting, she couldn't be there. And they changed. And they began meeting on Saturday mornings. And, they'd meet for breakfast. They had breakfast at church. And then they would do their business. And so they kind of combined
it. Right, fellowship, yeah. And then...
One group that I know of that was reviewing the meeting and their meeting process and saying, you know, we made some decisions, made a couple of them, and he said, even today, I'm not clear about the reasons. What were the reasons we did what we did? And so they decided with their meetings, that's when they decided that minutes would include all of that. But they would review. Now, you know, reading of minutes is one of the killers of a meeting. A man named Lencioni wrote a book, Death by Meeting, and just talking about how meetings can kill an organization. He wasn't talking about churches, he was talking about organizations, but in churches. Reading minutes is a killer. It'll kill your meeting. But they decided to make sure it was published. The minutes are published, they're sent out, and at the beginning of the meeting, they would say, is there anything on here that we should review just as a reminder? And so anybody who got those meetings, you got them, you know, nowadays, you can get them in your inbox, you can, got them beforehand and could say, wait a minute, I just want to look at this again, make sure we're clear about what we said about this, because I'm getting questions from people in the congregation. And so they would review, but wouldn't sit there. They would say, we assume the minutes are read.
Right, I'm not going to read it word for word. Right. And make
oh,
the
yes.
Meeting.
Yeah, I've been in those meetings. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Where somebody is just laying out the whole shebang of reading it through, and you say, oh, help us. So the meeting is important. What happens there can be adding to the joy, one person who left eldership, who retired from eldership while I was serving the last church I served, came to me one time and said, I really miss those meetings. And I thought, oh, hallelujah!
Okay, that's
a good
sign.
Right?
Yeah.
We have succeeded. May it be for you that you have meetings like that. And if they aren't, we've given you some tips to hopefully turn that around. Work with your pastor, work with other elders to make it happen. Blessings.